Today's daf is Zvachim daf Chaf Aleph. We left off on daf Chaf Amid Beis. We are about 10-12 lines from the bottom of the page. Ibayilhu. We were discussing what's going to ruin Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. That if a person did Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, what would have to happen for him to need to do another Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So that's the general discussion. And now we're going to get into some more specifics. Yesterday we asked about Yitzia. If a person leaves the Azar, if the Kohen leaves the Azar, does that mean he needs another Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, that the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim that he had done previously is no longer going to work? We had previously discussed whether Lina is Moel B'Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, whether Lina is going to ruin Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, that as soon as he goes overnight happens and the sun rises the next morning, he's going to need a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So now we're going to raise a third issue about what might ruin Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So, frankly, Gemara Yibayilahu, Tumah Ma'ushek Ta'ol Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. What about Tumah on Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim? Let's say a person did Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, and then his hands became Tamei. So, when your hands become Tamei, he may only need to be Tovel Yadayim, but may not need to do another Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim in the Kiyur. The Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim in the Kiyur is not for Tumah, that's for washing his hands and feet. So maybe even though he became Tameh, the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim that he did before is still effective. He'll do a Tvilas Yadayim to be Metaher his Yadayim, but he won't require a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So Imtim Tzolom Yitzia Lo Pasla, if you want to say that leaving the Azara is not going to ruin the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, the Gavru Chazi. That's because when he leaves, he can always come back. He's still Ra'ui at the entire time to do the Avodah. He just left. But Aval Hacha, the Gavru Lo Chazi, Asuchi Mesech Taite. But over here, where he became Tameh, and obviously while he's Tameh, he's unable to do the Avodah, so maybe that causes a Hesach Hadas. He's not going to be careful about touching dirty things. And since he had a Hesach Hadas, he's going to need a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Dilmor, maybe no. Kivan the Hadr Chazi, Daklev. Maybe you can say, since he's going to become Ra'ui again in a short amount of time, meaning it's very easy to unmitame his hands by just dipping them in the mikveh, so it's very easy for him to get back into it, so maybe he's not going to have Hesach Hadas. He's going to be very careful, and he's not going to have Hesach Hadas. If you look at Rashi, the bottom Rashi on the page, Odilma Kivin Dahadur Chazi Al Yedei HaTvila, since he can just do a Tvila of his Yadayim and be Matar his hands, he'll be very careful with the kedusha sayadayim, and he's got, or bekidush, not bekidushin, but bekidush, the Bach changes it to, and he's going to be careful not to touch something dirty, and he's not going to have eschadas. So that's our shaila. If his hands became tamei, is that going to necessitate a new kiddush yadayim raglayim? Now, the very existence of such a shaila is questioned by the Mefarshim. I mean, the Shaila assumes that there's such a thing as hands becoming Tameh without the rest of the body becoming Tameh. So the Mefarshim, the Mitzvah Eisan, on Rashi, Dibur Maskel V'Nitmu, asks, how is it possible that hands alone become Tameh? If you become Tameh with a Sheretz or something like that, so your entire body becomes Tameh. It's not just your hands. Now, there are certain things that Midrabanan are Metameh Yasayadayim and not Metameh the rest of your body. Pigal Nosar are Metameh the Yadayim. Midrabanan. Whenever we say that there's Tumah on the Yadayim and not the rest of the body, it's always Tumah Midrabanan. Because Tumah on the Daraisa level is going to affect your entire body. It doesn't stop at the wrist. Right? So only things that are Tumah Midrabanan could be Metame, could cause Tumah on your hands and not the rest of your body. But the question Mitzvah Eisan asks is, if you're talking about those kinds of things, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim on Daf Yotessa Meralef is explicit that there's no Tumis Yadayim B'Migdash, that there is no such din of Tumis Yadayim in the Beis HaMigdash, that whenever the Rabbanan instituted a din of Tumis Yadayim, that was only for outside of the Beis HaMigdash, not inside the Beis HaMigdash. And you find a similar kind of kasha elsewhere also. The Mishnah LeMelech in Hilchos Bias Migdash, Perek Dal Lelech Vav, asks on the Yerushalmi in the second parak of Yuma, where the Yerushalmi isn't sure if the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol is Meratze on Tumas HaYadayim. Does the tzitz... take care of the problem of Tumas Yadayim, of Karbanos that are brought with Tumas Yadayim. So the Mishnah Melech asks, same Kasha, what do you mean, Tumas Yadayim? There is no Tumas Yadayim in the Mikdash. Tumas Yadayim is not a problem in the Mikdash. That's the Gemara Mesechus Pesachim. So what kind of Shaila is that sits Meratz on Tumas Yadayim? You have also similarly, on Rashi in Mesechus Chagiga, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, writes that in order to eat Karban Shlamim, Chatos Nasham, the Kohanim need to be Tovel their Yadayim before they eat these Karbanos. And it's very difficult also over there. What do you mean? Eating Chatos and Asham only happens in the Azara. And Minchas Chinuch raises the question, in the Azara, there is no Tumas Yadayim. So what kind of questions does Rashi raise about eating Chatos V'Asham? Does the Kohen need to be Tovel the Yadayim in order to do Chatos V'Asham? There is no Tumas Yadayim in the Beis HaMikdash. So this very Shaila is a major question. How we can have such a Shaila about Tumas Yadayim in regards to the Beis HaMikdash when there is no Gzeira of Tumas Yadayim in the Beis HaMikdash? And the simple answer would be that maybe we're talking about a case where what did the Kohen do? He stuck his hands outside of the Azara, was metame his hands there, and then put his hands back in the Azara. So the Tumah happened outside of the Azara. But that, l'chora, doesn't work either, because the Rambam in Hilchos Avos HaTumah, Parches Halacha Vav, writes that whether you touch Tumah in the Mikdash or whether you touch Tumah outside of the Mikdash and then you touch Kachim in the Mikdash, it's not going to be Metame the Kachim. Meaning, the Rambam is explicit. Even if the Tumas Yadayim was contracted outside of the Mikdash, it will be ineffective to transmit Tumah inside of the Mikdash. That's the din, that there's no Tumas Yadayim in the Mikdash. No Tumas Yadayim in the Mikdash means you can't transmit Tumah from your Yadayim in the Mikdash. We don't view that as a problem of Tumah. So that, again, brings us back to square one. What in the world is going on? Why in our Gemara do we have this issue of whether Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is rendered ineffective from Tumas Yadayim? There is no such thing as Tumas Yadayim in the Mikdash. We ignore Tumas Yadayim in the Mikdash. So in the Birei Adaf, he quotes two approaches. First approach he has from the Olas Shlomo. I'm not sure who the Olas Shlomo is, but he quotes the Olas Shlomo, that's why Rashi carefully says that the Yadayim became Tame from Pigul and Nosar, that there were goes that Pigul and Nosar are Metame the Yadayim. In the Gemara Pesachim, it's clear that the reason they made this Gezera was because of the Chashudei Va'atsulei Kuhuna, the Kohanim who are lazy and the Kohanim who are Chashud. And Rashi holds that the Tumas Yadayim that there were goes on Pigul and Nosar has to be even in the Mikdash, because otherwise you would never the problem of Pigul and Nosar, of the Tumas Yadayim by Pigul and Nosar, is only going to be useful for Kachim Kalim that are eaten outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and not for Kachim that are eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. It has to be that this particular Tumas Yadayim, even though typically Tumas Yadayim is not Nogeya for the Beis HaMikdash, this particular Tumas Yadayim there goes there for even inside the Beis HaMikdash. That's one approach. The more interesting approach in my mind is the Stipler's approach. And the Stipler over here in Maseches Vachim, he suggests the following. He says it's from the Rambam, it's clear that even if your hands became tame outside, they're not going to be metame anything in the Mikdash. So you see that Ein Tumas Yadayim b'Mikdash is a din in that your hands are unable to be metame other things in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not a din that your hands can't become tame in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, there's a din in chalos hatuma and a din in being metame other things. The chalos hatuma happens even in the Mikdash. That does happen. It's just that the chalos hatuma doesn't affect anything else that your hands touch. Your hands will then not be mitame anything else. That's what the Rambam emphasized. That even if your hands became tame outside of the Mikdash, those things that you touch in the Mikdash are not going to become tame from your hands. But when your hands became tame outside of the Mikdash, they obviously had a chalos hatuma. They obviously did, in fact, become tame. So he says, that's the nature of this din. When we say that there's no tumas yadayim b'mikdash, it means that yadayim do become tame. They just don't have the ability to transmit tumah to something else. Now, if they do become tamei, you're possible to do the avoda because you're tamei, not because you're going to be mitamei those things that you touch. You won't be mitamei those things that you touch. But you still can't do the avoda because you are tamei. The Yadayim, in fact, are tamei. So that's the way the Stipler understands the Shaila. So again, the Shaila in the Gemara, back in the Gemara, is that what does Tuma affect Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, or does it not affect Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Are you going to need a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim if a person person had tumas yadayim in the interim. So says Gemara, let's attempt an answer number one. Tashma kiddush yadav v'raglav nitmu matbilan vein sarach lekadesh. If a person was mekadesh yadav v'raglav and then they became tamei, all he has to do is be tovel his hands and feet, and he doesn't have to be mekadesh them again. He does not need to do a new kiddush yadayim v'raglayim from the kiyar. So you see, explicit. It's explicit that the original kiddush yadayim v'raglayim still works. Answers Gemara, nitmu yadav lo mibayilan. Our shaila was never about if your hands became tamei. Kimi bayla nitma kol gufo. Our shaila was about if your entire body became tamei. Meaning, we misunderstood the shaila from the outset. It wasn't, the shaila was not, if you did kiddush yadayim v'raglayim and then you had some sort of tumah d'rabbanan on your hands, is that going to necessitate a new kiddush yadayim v'raglayim? Now that was not the issue. For sure it would not require a new kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Our issue was, you did kiddush yadayim v'raglayim and then your body became tamei. So now you need to tovel and wait for a harav shemesh and in order to become tahar, do you then need to do another kiddush yadayim v'raglayim? So says Gemara, kol gufo, typically keeping the body of the harav shemesh, asuchim esuch laitei. Well, wait a second, of course you're going to have a hesach hadas if your entire body became tamei, because you need harav shemesh. You need to wait until sunset in order to become tamei. So that's a long time. Over a period of time, you're going to have a hesach hadas. So maybe the shaila is where he became tamei when it's almost shkia. So harav shemesh is going to happen in 5 minutes. So it's not going to be a long time. You're not going to have hesach hadas. And that's our shaila. You became tamei. Your body, you did kiddush yadayim raglayim 7 minutes before shkia. Then 5 minutes before shkia, your body became tamei. So now you go to the mikvah and you wait a few minutes and then you're going to be tahor again. Once you're tahor again, do you need to do kiddush yadayim raglayim? So Tash Malik Mar says, let's bring a raya from the following case. Para, Rabbi Chia, in the preparations of doing the Para Aduma, we learned yesterday, Rabbi Chia b'Rabbi Yosef Amar Mekadish b'Klisharis b'Fnim v'Yotzei, that you do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim in a Klisharis, with a Klisharis, inside of the Azara, and then you leave the Azara in order to do the Avoda of the Para. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu b'Chutz, v'Afilu b'Klichol, v'Afilu b'Mekiddush al-Cheres. Rabbi Yochanan says, nah, you could even do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim in preparation of the Para outside of the Azara. You could even use a Klichol, you don't need to use a Klisharis. And even with Mekidush al Cheres, you could even use a pot of Cheres that's used for firing things up. That's fine. That's also okay. Meaning the requirements are very lax in terms of the Kiddush Daim Raglaim of Para in the view of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yosef thought, no, you got to do a normal Kiddush Daim Raglaim. Now let's assume within the first Shita, what do we know about the Avodah of the Para Aduma? The Kohen who does the Para Aduma is going to become Tameh. We are Metameh him on purpose. That's part of the din of the Para Aduma. Ditnan, like the Mishnah says explicitly in Maseches Para, Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin, the Mishnah says explicitly in Maseches Para, Metamin Hayu HaKohen HaSoreifes HaPara, they would bedafka be Metameh the Kohen who was going to burn the Para Aduma into ashes, Umad Bilun Oso, and then they would put him in a mikvah, Lahotzi Miliban Shel Tzedukin. And the reason they would do that is in order to show that the Tzedukim are incorrect in their understanding of who is Ra'ui to do the Avodah of the burning of the Para Aduma. Show you Omer, because the Tzedukim used to say, the Tzedukim used to say, the Tzedukim who took a very literal understanding of the Torah, said that since the Torah says that the person who burns the paraduma has to be Tahar, they understood that if a person became Tameh and he went to the mikvah, that day he still couldn't burn the Parah. He had to wait till he had Harav Shemesh, and he has to be Mamish Tahar. Chazal darshan that's not so. Chazal darshan that a Tevul Yom can also burn the paraduma ashes. That a Tevul Yom means someone who became Tameh goes to the mikvah, and all he needs is Harav Shemesh for his Tara to be complete. All he needs is for the day to end, for his Tara to be complete. Even before the day ends, he's already koshered to do the burning of the Parah Aduma. In order to indicate that we believe that that's the halacha, and we don't take the literal translation of the Torah, Chazal would dafka be makbid, they would dafka be makbid that the person who burns the ashes of the Parah Aduma would become Tameh, so that he can become a Tevul Yom, and in the state of Tevul Yom, that's when he would do the burning of the Parah Aduma. So that's who did it. So, but bottom line, for our discussion, what do you see from there? Shemamina la pasla batuma. What you see is that he did a kiddush yadayim raglayim before the process started. Then they were mitameh him, and he goes to the mikvah, they do not require a new kiddush yadayim raglayim. He's then ready to go and do the burning of the parah aduma. So you see explicitly from there, tumah does not ruin a previous kiddush yadayim raglayim. Kiddush yadayim raglayim could have been done, and tumah is not going to ruin it. Tumah is not going to necessitate a new kiddush yadayim raglayim. So Gemara says, no, you can't bring any raya from para. Shiny para hold a tvul yom lo pasulba, because para is different, because by a tvul yom can do the avodah of a para, meaning you don't need to be tahar to do the avodah of a para. Maybe the tumah is going to ruin a kiddush yadayim raglayim when the kiddush yadayim raglayim is meant to prepare you for the kind of avodah that you have to do when you're tahar. And then if you become tamei in between, that's no good, that's going to ruin it. But by para, you don't have to be tahar to do the burning of the para. So the tumah is not going to destroy, it's not going to be a hefsik between the kiddush yadayim raglayim and the avoda, because you're allowed to do the avoda of tumah. You're supposed to do the avoda with that level of tumah of tvul yom. So ihachi lamli demekadesh. Well, then what's the point of doing the kiddush yadayim raglayim in the first place? If anyway you're going to be tameh when you do the avoda, what's the purpose of doing the kiddush yadayim raglayim for the paraduma? So ken avoda bina. It's like we saw yesterday. What we try to do with the paraduma is we try to make it look like as much of an avoda as possible, even though in reality it's not really an avoda. So we make it ken avoda. We make it look like an avoda. Period. So that's the end of that discussion. So bottom line is, we did not have any rayas of what the din would be if a person becomes tameh after doing kiddush yadayim raglayim. Does he require a new kiddush yadayim raglayim? We had no strong rayas. We leave the question unresolved, and now we move on to the next question. Ibayilhu mar lekadish yadav raglav bikior. What if the person is? We discussed before how they would make that spouts by the kior, and you would wash from the water that came out of the spouts. And one of the big takanas is having 12 different spouts, so that all these different kohanim could wash at the same time, right? We had a discussion. We mentioned in passing the idea that a kior that doesn't have enough water to be to wash the hands and feet of four kohanim is not a valid kior. But all that was washing from the spouts that come out of the kior. What if there's water in the basin of the kior and you just stick your hands and feet in that water? You're tovel them in that water instead of allowing the water to come through the spouts and to wash over your hands and feet. Is that also a valid kiddush yadayim raglayim? Can you be tovel in the kiyar? So ma'u l'kaddish yadav raglav b'kiyar. Mimenu amar achmanu v'lo b'tocho. Do we darshan that the pasuk says when it talks about doing the kiddush yadayim raglayim, it says v'rachtu arun uvanav mimenu es yadayim es raglayim, that the water has to come from it, but not betocho, you can't put your hands and feet into it? Or do we say, oh, dilma filu betocho? Or maybe no, it could even be inside of it, that mimenu is just the typical example, but betocho would also work. To put your hands and feet inside of the kiyor would also work. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tashma will bring a raya. Osha tavel b'mei ma'ara v'avad avodaso psula. That if a person was tovel his body in a in mei ma'ara, meaning in a mikvah, and he does the avoda, his avoda's pasul. Meaning that that's not a valid form of kiddush yadayim raglayim. Dipping your hands and feet in a mikvah is not kiddush yadayim raglayim, right? That's what we learned. So now, if you're going to tell me that dipping your hands and feet in the kiyor is not even good enough, why do you tell me dipping your hands and feet in a mikvah is not good enough? If by saying that dipping your hands and feet in a mikvah is not good enough, that implies that as long as you use the kiyor, I don't care how you use it, it's going to work. Problem over here was using a mikvah. You can't use a mikvah to dip your hands and feet. You need to use the kiyor. Hamei kiyor dumyu demei ma'ara. But if you were to use the mei kiyor the way one would normally use a mikvah, meaning by dipping their hands and feet in the kiyor, va'avad and you did the avoda avodasuk sheira, that would imply that that's okay, that the avoda is going to be kosher. So that's a raya, that it's okay to dip your hands and feet in the kiyor and not necessarily to have the water come out from a spout over your hands and feet. So lo, says Gemara, it's not correct. Mema arit strichle. We need to dafka be told about the case of mema ara. Shelo tomar kol gufo tovel ben yadav raglav kol shkein. Because one might have thought that a mikvah is even better than the kiyar. That after all, a mikvah you can dip your whole body in and it will be matar your whole body. So for sure, to just do kiddush yadayim raglayim in mema ara would be good. That's why we dafka wanted to emphasize that kiddush yadayim raglayim in mema ara is not good. Dipping your hands and feet in a mikvah is not good. But it could be that dipping your hands and feet in a mikvah in the kiyar would be good. We just wanted to emphasize Mei Ma'ara, because one might have had a Havamina that since a mikvah is good enough for your whole body, it's got to be good enough for your hands and feet. So we come to say that no, it's not good enough for your hands and feet. Hands and feet dafka require the kiyar. But how you use the kiyar, that's still up for debate. You can have the water come out from the spouts over your hands and feet, or maybe it's still kosher if you dip your hands and feet in the kiyar. Fine, period. Next discussion. Amr b'chia bar Yosef. Now this is a more complicated discussion. Amr b'chia bar Yosef. Make your nifsalin limatirin kimatirin le'evarim ke'evarim. So Rashi explains, what's going on over here? Rashi explains, if you look at the long Dibur Maskel, Amr b'chia bar Yosef, make your nifsalin limatirin kimatirin le'evarim ke'evarim. Rav Chista amar af limatirin nifsalin el'ba amar shachar ke'evarim. So one by one. Make your lefiz man avoda shakidush sarukla Havizman Meimav Lifsal Imavodas Lifsal. Meaning the rule is as follows. The same Zman that you're going to, that the Avoda that you want to, You need to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for all sorts of different avoda. For to be zorik the dam of a carbon on the mizbeach, to bring be maktir the komets of the mincha on the mizbeach, you need to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim first. You also need to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim before you burn the evarim and chalav mal on the mizbeach all night. Now the halacha is that each of these avodas have their own time frame where if you don't do the avoda by that certain time, the avoda is not going to be good anymore. Right, so when it comes to the dam, let's say of a carbon, you brought a carbon today in the morning hours. If you're not zorek the dam by sunset tonight, then the you're never going to be able to do that zrikas dam. It's going to ruin the entire thing. Zrikas dam and haktaras komets are considered matirim. The reason they're considered matirim is that the rest of the carbon only becomes okay once you do those avodas. If you are zorik the dam on the mizbech, now it's okay to be makriv the rest of the carbon on the mizbech. Now it's okay to eat the meat of the carbon. Prior to being zorik the dam, it's not okay to do anything else with that carbon. Same by the komets. When you makriv the komets of the mincha, the kemitza of the mincha, so then it becomes okay to eat the rest of the carbon. Prior to that, it's not okay. That's why we call it a matir. But the matir needs to be done by sunset. So we're going to assume that the water that you use for the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is subject to the same rules as the Avoda that you're doing the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim for. That's what it means, that the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim of the Matir, the Mekir, or Nifsal, the Matirin, Kim Matirin, Rashi explains, Im Avodas Matiru, Kugon Avodas Dam, or Kumatzim, Shenifsalim Bibab Halayla Aleihem. If you're interested in doing the Avodas Adam, or the Kmitza, where nighttime would ruin it, would make it impossible for you to do that avoda anymore. Then, as the Gemara darshins out later on, then make here nifsal mishkiyas sachama, the water that you're using for the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim could not have had a shkiyas sachama happen to it. Meaning, we discussed yesterday how there was a whole pulley system where they would dip the kiyar back underground. If that kiyar was above ground and the sun set on that water that was in that kiyar, that water is possible for a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim to allow you to do a matir. But if all you're interested in doing is not a matir, you're not trying to do the dam or the komets, you're doing the evarim, you're burning the evarim on the mizbeach. So that's kasher kol halayla. You could do that all night. It's only in the morning, when the sun rises in the morning, that it's going to ruin the ability to burn the evarim on the mizbeach. So then the water that you use for the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim of the of the burning of the Evarim, also, as long as the water was dipped, was submerged underground before morning, you're okay, right? Even though it was out, it was up above ground in the Kiyar, when sunset happened, that's fine, because what you're doing the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim for is dafka for the Evarim. So it's all going to depend on what you're doing it for. That's Reb Chiya bar Yosef Shita. Again, back in the Gemara. Make here nifsalim limatirin kimatirin, le'evarim ke'evarim. Depends why you're doing the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Rav Chista Amar, he says, no, the water in the kiyar only becomes pasul at a marashachar in the next morning, even if you're trying to wash your hands to do avodah sadam, even if you're trying to wash your hands to do actual matirin. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan seems to have the strictest opinion, kiyar kivin sheshaku shuvein maleu, that once you're shokeah, once you sink the kiyar, you can't bring it up anymore. Meaning that the kiyar has to go down before sunset for all avodas. It doesn't make a difference difference what the avoda that you're doing the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim is for. So the meimer the avodas laila nami lochazi. Does that mean to say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that even for avodas laila, even for burning the evarim on the mizbeach, you can't have water from the kiyar that was up above ground when the sun set? But didn't Rabbi Yochanan himself say in the name of Ilfa, the same Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Ilfa, that a kiyar that was not submerged before nightfall, you're allowed to be mekadesh adayim raglayim from it for the avodas laila. So says the Gemara, my einu ma'aleh nami dekamar lavodas yom, avodas laila chazi. Now Rabbi Yochanan didn't really mean that the kiyar needs to be submerged in order to do a kiddush yadayim v'raglayim for avodas laila. For avodas laila, it doesn't need to be submerged before sunset. For avodas yom, it needs to be submerged before sunset. So, frankly, Gemara, but if that's all Rabbi Yochanan is saying, ihachi haynu d'Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, that's the same as the first shita. The first shita that said, for limatirim kimatirim, leivarim kever, right? So for avodas laila, it doesn't need to be submerged before sunset. So says Gemara, ika b'nayu gzeiras shikua. The enochinami, they both agree that it does need to be submerged before sunset for matirim, but not for avodas laila. Question is why? The question is why does it need to be submerged? So the nafkamina is it because of a gzeira of shikua, that the reason that the laila is going to pass according to Rabbi Chiya is shemelo yachsa? It's not like Rabbi Chiya's din that laila passels for the avodas yom. It's rather a concern shemelo yachsa v'yishke'enu. We're afraid that if you unsubmerge it, you're not going to resubmerge it, and at amura shachar it's going to be unsubmerged. Meaning the issue is why does the kiyar need to be submerged before Shkiyas HaChama and remain submerged all night in order to allow it to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim for Matirim? Is it because that's the din? It needs to be submerged all night in order for that water to be kosher? That's the original Shita. That's the Shita of Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef. Or is it no? Really, it only needs to be submerged by morning time in order for it to, by the time daybreak happens, in order for you to be allowed to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim from it. The only thing is we're afraid if at any point during the night you submerge it, you pick it up, we're afraid you're not going to put it back down. But really, the only key moment is the moment when daybreak happens. That's the machlokas. So, v'amar Rabbi Yochanan, but didn't Rabbi Yochanan say kiddush yadav l'chumas hadeshen, that if a person is mekadesh his yadayim in order to do the chumas hadeshen, l'machar ein tzorich lekadesh shekvar kiddush mitchilas avoda, so the next day he doesn't have to do kiddush yadayim raglayim again because he already did kiddush yadayim raglayim very early in that morning before daybreak, before the chumas hadeshen. So, bishlam l'rava demukam la'yik rabbelaz Rabbi Shimon. So, if you assume that statement that you don't need a new kiddush yadayim raglayim if you already did it for Chumas Hadeshen is assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Lina is not going to pass the Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, then it's no problem. HaKarebi, that over here where we say that no, that if it was unsubmerged over the night, then that water is no good. So that's assuming like Rebbe. Previously, we were assuming like Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, when we said that the Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim for the Chumas Hadeshen is good enough. El Abaye, the Mukim LaKarebi, but Abaye, who understands that even that statement of the Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim of the Chumas Hadeshen being good enough is going like Rebbe, Kasha, the Rebbe had the Rebbe. Then we have a stira in Rebbe. Because after all, what happens when you wash your hands for the Chumas Hadeshen? You unsubmerge the kiyar. So is that water good enough that you wash your hands with from an unsubmerged kiyar in the middle of the night? Is that going to allow you to do avodas hadam during the day? So it's a stira that previously we said that it is good, and now we're saying it's not good. So maishna hasam de meshakale umaishna hacha de lo meshakale. So what would be the difference over there where it was previously submerged and over here where it's not previously submerged? Either way, it's not submerged when morning time comes. So the mesalik levahadam shakale. No, what we're saying is when we said that you can wash your hands with the mekiyar, it's talking about that you wash your hands but then you re-dip the kiyar back underground. So frakli gemari ihachi lemachar ena makadesh. When it says lemachar ena makadesh that you don't wash your hands the next day from that kiyar, why not? Why can't you? If it was resubmerged, why can't you? So what's the gears over here? No, we keep the girsa. Amai ain't sarich lekadesh. It means that ain't sarich lekadesh. You don't need to wash your hands again the next morning. Lemeimer delematirin michsachazi. But does that mean to suggest that this water is actually usable for even to do avodas hamatirin? But hainu de Rav Chista, then we're assuming like the second shita that we quoted, which was the shita of Rav Chista, that even for matirin, it only becomes pasul at a mura shachar. So now Rabbi Yochanan is saying the same thing as Rav Chista. So you can be now mitzvah shikur. Now the nafkamina is there a requirement to resubmerge it? It's definitely going to be kosher. The question is there a mitzvah to resubmerge the kiyar? Meisvei loha yironos of lo shomen eskolo. The guy who would do the truma sedeshen, he would go in the dark of night to do his kiddush adayim v'raglayim first, and no one would see him because he didn't carry a light with him. Lo shomen eskolo, and he would be very quiet. None of the other kohanim heard him. Ad shom kol eit sha'asa ben katin muchni l'kiyar, until people heard the wood wheel turning for the raising of the kiyar. And then everyone would say, oh, it's time for kiddush adayim v'raglayim min hakiyar. My lav de misalik lei. So isn't the implication that he raises it? So alma mishakalei, and that therefore implies that it was lowered prior to the kiddush adayim v'raglayim of the Trumas Hadeshen. So says Gemara, lo de mishakalei. No, the sound that they heard wasn't him raising the kiyar. Kiyar didn't need to be raised. The kiyar was never lowered the previous night in order to do the kiddush adayim v'raglayim for the Trumas Hadeshen. The sound that the other kohanim heard was him lowering the kiyar. But wait a second, if he was lowering it, what noise does that make? When you raise it, you need to use the pulley and the wheel turns and it makes a noise. When you're lowering it, you just lower it by a rope. What's the big deal? Why would anyone hear any noise? Means the same thing. No, when they would lower it, he wouldn't just lower it with a rope. He would actually lower it using the pulley, using the wheel, in order to make noise. He wanted to make noise as he was re-lowering the kiyar so that the kohanim would hear and realize that it's time to start the day. And that was their alarm clock. That's what would wake them up. So, frak the Gemara, Vahava Gavini Karus. That was their alarm clock. Didn't they have this guy, Gavini Karus, who would run around the Beis HaMikdash screaming that the Kohanim should wake up, and he had the loudest voice in the world, like in yeshivas sometimes they have a guy who goes around waking people up? That was his job. So, well, what do they need to make the sound of the wheel to wake the Kohanim up? So, Gemara says, Bei Trei Hekeri Havu Avdi. They would do two separate things to wake Kohanim up. Shame Mehayasi, Visham Mehayasi. Some would hear one alarm clock, some would hear the other alarm clock. But Enochinami, the sound that they heard was not the raising of the kiyar, that was unnecessary. The kiyar could have been raised the entire night to do the kiddush adayim raglayim for the Trumas Hadeshen. The sound that they heard was the lowering of the kiyar so that the kiyar would remain submerged by the time daybreak happened. Okay.